Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we're joined by the guys from Saved by Scarlett. Well, hello and welcome into another Rock for Him podcast. As you can see, we are missing Mr. Jeremy Brown. Unfortunately, now through roughly January, he probably will not be on the podcast because he works for a delivery service, and as you know, it's his busy time of the year. So it's just going to be me and my good friend, my brother in Christ, Mr. Riker Levine.
You're stuck with us. Let's go. Everybody clap. It'll make us feel better.
We are joined tonight by guests that I have been waiting to talk to for a long time. It has been way too long since I first mentioned to Jeremy, like, hey, we got to get these guys on. And he's like, I know. I think Jeremy actually might have talked to you once before, but it is the guys from Saved by Scarlett. And we have Nate and Matt. Nate, how's it going?
Hey, guys.
Matt currently rocking in Walmart. He's the lead guitarist. I'm the lead vocalist and band manager.
That's right. I'm sure. Make a decision. Guys, should I get the mountain white bread or the whole grain?
I like how you just pop up every once in a while, show your face, and then you're back off. So, guys, how is it going? What have you guys been up to?
Oh, it's been good. Going good, man. We've been working on some new music. As you guys probably saw, we released Memory Relapse, which has already been charting on Billboard Christian Rock category at number 10 now. We're super excited and thankful to Rock for Him Radio for helping us achieve that as well. And so we actually partnered with Brandon Wolf and Jeremy Valentine from New Year's Day with that song. They helped with some of the production work, which we are so thrilled about. They're amazing people. And we currently have another song that we've been working on. Our drummer, Dallin, worked very hard on this one. So Memory Relapse was one that I headed up. And now we're going to be working on one that Dallin created for the most part called My Sin, Your Truth. And then I believe Matt has a song that he wants to bring to the table. Or Brendan. Or both. there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, absolutely. Nate said it well. We're excited about what's coming, and we're excited about what God has already been doing through us, and it's a privilege to be doing it.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to finally talking to you guys about this, because I think if I'm not mistaken, currently on our top 15, I think Memory Relapse is number one right now, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really cool. I don't think at least not that I can remember, we've talked to someone at a point where it coincided with them topping at the number one spot. Like, we've had people on the list that have gone to number one or have been on number one, but not at the same time. So, I don't know. It's really cool to see your guys' name up there and be able to chat with you guys about it. So,
yeah. When you guys sent us this song, I was like, honestly, I think this is probably one of, if not the best song that you guys have sent us so far. And I mean, to date, one of my favorite songs of yours is Lie of the Pharisees. Like, I love that song.
Dude, that song goes hard, man.
Oh, unbelievably.
That is my favorite song.
Well, at least I'm in good company then.
Oh, you are. And we've got... If you like that kind of music from us, man, we've got more music ideas coming. You know, this next song that we're releasing, My Sin, Your Truth, it's going to be another more of a hard rock ballad-esque type song, somewhat like Memory Relapse. It's going to be more worshipful, though. And we're hoping on to make some heavier music where I really showcase some of my screaming talent, things that you guys haven't even heard me do yet. Yes. So get ready.
Yes. 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 I was listening to I was listening to a couple of your songs on the way home from the gym today, just absolutely rocking out. So I would hearing that things might get heavier from here.
Oh yeah.
Totally. Love it. Love it.
Oh, it will. It will.
Yes.
We've actually been asked quite a bit to showcase, you know, some of our roots, which is a little bit more of like just hard rock as opposed to metal. That's really where we started. Mm-hmm. It's not where we plan our end destination to be, but we've had quite a few fans who have, you know, kind of mentioned, hey, like, is there going to be another song kind of like Surrender All or something in that ballpark where it's kind of like a reflective song, you know, something that really speaks to people and is an opportunity to speak pretty boldly about Christ. And so this new song that Nate had mentioned is going to showcase that exactly. It's going to be very personal song as opposed to being broad or vague. We're going to be very direct, but it's going to be in love and it's going to be good. Hmm.
That's fantastic. I love when bands come direct. Like, they don't play around. They're right in your face with it. And that, you know, I love that. So saying that, that's got me excited. And then hearing the heavy coming, oof. Like,
well, you said that your favorite song was Lie of the Pharisees. So when you say direct, yeah, that definitely encompasses direct. There was no beating around the bush with that song.
None. Like, when you guys sent that to us, I was like, oh, the song is fantastic. The thing I think about with you guys, at least for me, and I don't know about the Rock for Him listeners, but I think I can probably speak for them, is every time we get something new from you guys, it's not like it's a rehashing of what you guys have already done. It's not like, oh, well, you know, this could have been a song off their last CD. It's always something fresh. It's something new. And, you know, going from Lie of the Pharisees, like, oh, fantastic. And then sending us, like, Memory Relapse. Oh, you guys stepped it up. So I can't wait to hear what you guys come, you know, this next song you guys got bringing out to us. Like, this is going to be, I don't think the world's ready for it, to be honest with you.
They ain't ready, dude. They're not ready for the breakdowns. Listen, Jesus helps us with our metal breakdowns, and Jesus helps us with our mental breakdowns.
I have a meme that says exactly that. That's one of them. Jesus with his hand on someone's shoulder, and the other Jesus playing electric guitar. And it says those two frames. So if you guys have kind of a direction in mind for where you guys are moving towards, is there a band or bands that have the vibe or the feel that you guys are trying to go towards that we can kind of like look forward to, like, oh, if this is where they're wanting to like start dipping their toes into, this is the kind of theme, like musical vibe.
It's hard to say, you know, because like a lot of people say that my cleans are like Breaking Benjamin style. Our instrumentation is like War of Ages. Our tempo changes, modulations, quick snap changes in the outros. If you noticed, our entire EP, every single outro is built differently. We purposefully make sure our music is constantly evolving and changing like a revolving door because we want it to be fresh, like you said earlier, Jason. So it's kind of hard to even answer that in all honesty because we're really trying to, while being in the Christian rock and metal category, we're really trying to add elements and do things that are going to be still different. So it's almost like if you were to combine multiple artists, because there really aren't many artists, at least that we know of, that do this kind of thing. You know, I know like deathcore bands that do modulations and, you know, tempo changes. Memphis Mayfire is one of the only other bands I've heard do that.
Like love Memphis Mayfire. Love
and not
that.
Only that, but like Memphis Mayfire and Saved by Scarlet also both live change in real time the tempo to be heavier and slower, like Black Knight. I'm sure you guys remember that one. That was our top song, still is. And with, you know, like with that one and also Lie of the Pharisees, Jason, there is a tempo change, you know, it goes to the breakdown. But the outro thing, you don't see a whole lot of bands do that. Most bands, if they do a different type of outro with their music, it'll be like consistently different. But we are constantly doing different things for every single ending of every song. There is only, I believe, two songs that have a similar type of structure ending. And we do that on purpose. And like a lot of fans have told us that they always look forward to listening to the whole track so that they can get to the ending and hear what we're going to throw at them, you know? So we're going to continue to try to do that with our, you know, upcoming music. And I would say probably a mix of, if you were to put into a blender, Breaking Benjamin, Lacey Sturm, Memphis Mayfire, War of Ages, and Wage War. It's literally like a blend of all of that. Wage War also does the outro thing a little bit. They pretty, dabble a little bit.
It's a pretty epic smoothie. It's a pretty epic smoothie of music.
Yeah.
So that's, epic smoothie. I like that.
And we've got lots of other ideas. I mean, like, we've got a song coming out that literally has two bridges, basically. Like, it's or not two bridges, but like a bridge and then a post bridge and sort of just an outro, cuts right into an outro. And then we've got another song where it's going to be more of a standard structure, but we're going to flip some things. So, I mean, really, like, our goal is to really keep people on their toes. And we make sure that every single show when we're performing it, we do it exactly that way. So people are bouncing, headbanging, moshing, circle pitting, worshiping, slowing down, staying still, literally all of it.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So I know Riker was asking you, like, who do you guys want to kind of be like? But here's who I'm telling you I think you guys need to be like. Saved by Scarlett.
Yeah.
Honestly, because like I was telling you earlier, none of your music is just copy paste. Some of my favorite bands do have, I was telling Jeremy earlier about a CD that we were talking about. The songs are literally copy paste from their last CD, which was copy paste from their last CD. Great songs. Love their songs, love the music, but it's copy paste. You guys have never been copy-paste on anything I've ever heard from you. So do me a favor, as a fan of yours, do not try to be like anyone. Be like you. Do what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, man. That's really awesome, and we really appreciate that. You know, I think in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the churches, he mentions how important it is for all the different parts of the body to be used to create the whole body, you know? and not to get, like, too super spiritual or anything, but I mean this quite literally, that, like, if everyone was the same, or if let me put it this way, if everyone played the same type of music, it would be less special. It would be less unique, it would be.
Oh, I think we lost you. He's trapped somewhere in Walmart. We'll get back to you, Matt.
Send help, Matt. Our lead guitarist has been lost in Walmart.
Good. We're not gonna put something out there that sounds bad just because we want to sound different.
Right.
You know what I mean, like. But at the same time, we definitely, okay, what is my phone doing? I'm sorry. I'm so distracted. All right. I'm like locked out of my phone. It won't let me get back in.
Oh, that's funny.
Dude, it literally, like, I got a new phone and it literally just bugged out on me. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. But hey, it looks like we have, some viewers here on Facebook, which if you're watching on any of our social media, please feel free to just drop a comment in any of the chats. I know that Kira Soto is watching right now. She's probably on all three of our chats right now. So just drop a comment there, Kira, and I see that you've already been chatting with Nate on there.
Hey, Kira.
Kira, what's up?
It's Kira. Kira is a boss. She is a boss, and she speaks the truth. Yeah, man. I love it.
Indeed, yes. And Tim Hudson is on. He says, Nate. But anyways, so for those that don't know that are watching, tell us a little bit about the name of the band. How did you guys come up with it? I think most of us can figure it out.
He thinks I can put this one together, but...
well, you think you know, but it goes deeper than what you think.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Do tell. Yeah.
Do it.
Matt, do you want me to take it, or are you still in the bowels of Walmart?
I'm battling a trash can. I'll be right back.
All right, I'll take this one.
Take it away, Nate. I'll take the next one. I just finished up.
Okay. So the name essentially came, well, let me start here. So we actually started as a band called Fireproof. And then we started kind of changing that into Rising Ashes. That was sort of, those are sort of just spitballed ideas that fans had given us. At that time, we were just a cover band that did Flyleaf and Evanescence music and Skillet. And so we ended up sitting down and saying, you know what, we want to, my brother and I and our previous drummer named Austin Given, we were like, let's come up with a name, you know, let's try and get creative and let's create something that is going to cause people to think when they hear the name, but also be a little unique. So didn't really come up with anything, you know, for a couple of weeks. And I ended up reading my Bible at night. I was going to bed late. This was during a time frame that was a lot more difficult for me in my life. And so I'm going through my Bible and I come across Joshua and the story of the two prophets that, you know, are running away inside Jericho. They dip into this woman's apartment room, if you will. And she turns out to be a prostitute. Well, from the kindness of her heart, you know, she decides to hide them, you know, from the guards that were running, looking to kill the prophets. And because she hid them and protected them and essentially saved them, before leaving, they said, you know, with gratitude, they were like, thank you so much for protecting us. And because you've done this, you've protected two men of the Lord. God is going to spare your life when the city's destruction is inbound, essentially. And she said, wait. And they said, we're going to have you throw a scarlet rope out of the window. And that will be a signal, a symbol to God to spare your area, your life here. And one thing that I thought was really cool is that when this happened, Rahab, which is the prostitute's name, Rahab goes, but that's not enough, that's not enough, prophets. What about my family? And she was so concerned about her. I think it even mentions her cousins. She was so concerned about her family being saved. And I think that it was really inspiring for me reading that, because she in that moment didn't question if what they were saying was true. Notice that her immediate response is she accepted and believed that the city would be destroyed, which is also really out there, right? Like, if that was anybody else, they'd be like, yeah, right. This city has fortified walls that are like skyscraper high. Like, she believed it and she knew in her heart and made that decision in her heart to believe, in a sense. And so when she said that, they said, because of your faithfulness, God is not only going to save your life from the scarlet rope that is a symbol thrown out of your window, but your whole family. That was actually a depiction of what was going to happen in the future, with Jesus spilling out, pouring out his scarlet red blood for our sins with the atonement on the cross. So saved by scarlet is actually not directly talking just about the sort of simple image of Jesus died. It's quite literally actually about the story with Joshua and the scarlet that was thrown out of the window is symbolism, but it is what saved her life and her family's life. So the K, we just gave the K, you know, we put the K in scarlet because we wanted to come up on number one on Google. There's no D meeting with the K.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love hearing that. That's such a great, has such great imagery. One in just the salvific image of that red rope and what it meant to Joshua at the time. But also then, of course, you know, Rahab being a ancestor of King David and then Jesus.
Yep.
So by which that grace, which God showed to Rahab and Joshua through her, led that bloodline down to Jesus, who then saved us with his blood. So love that. That's a great, that has great imagery.
That God used someone who was at that time considered unclean, you know, dirty even. And it's like so cool that that God, even amidst all of this, was like, I'm going to use the least of these who everyone else will not even look 2 seconds at. And he chose to do it again. And he's done that so many times, man. It's amazing. He took me when I was a wretch and all kinds of messed up when I was 18, 17 years old. And it's like, it's just wild. He does it. He did it then and he'll do it now. And he's still doing it now. So cool. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. I think that leads pretty good into this next one. And I know, Matt, you're a little bit predisposed right now, unfortunately. So if you can't, it's okay. But if you guys could tell us
I'm
a little bit.
Pretty good, yeah.
Okay, cool. If you could tell us, just take like maybe 3 to 5 minutes and just tell us your testimonies. You know, kind of where you came from and how you came to know Christ and how that led into you starting to do music.
Sure. Well, I'll take this one if that's cool.
Yeah.
So for myself, I mean, I know Nate and I have both been through a lot, and I know the other guys have their own testimonies too in the band. But since Nate and I are present, I figured I'd share mine. For me, like one of my biggest hurdles in life has almost, I'd say probably 75% of the hurdles in my life has been like medical challenges, dealing with the feeling of inferiority or just being really sensitive because of so many medical issues and stuff, which like we're not just talking about like, you know, oh, I got a rash, but more like, you know, I'm dealing with histamine overload, which is literally like shrinking my memory to where I can't even remember a conversation I just had like minutes prior, to feeling like completely stressed. I was at such a low, man, like, and you know, all these different things that have happened to me between I've had over 30 kidney stones, and those are the only ones that are documented. I'm sure there was more. And I've seen God like literally break apart stones so that I can pass them on my behalf without having to get an operation. And then there have been times where he didn't, you know, come through for me in that way, but it still made me stronger. And it gave me an opportunity to be someone who can speak into the lives of other young men who have come forward to me and said, hey, I'm dealing with kidney stones, like, can you help? You know, and doctors are great. You know, they can operate within the realm of the abilities that God has given them, but doctors aren't everything. God should be our everything. He should literally be the one that we are running to. And I'm still trying to practice this myself, but I'm not practicing it religiously. I'm doing it because I believe and because it's authentic. And honestly, he's the one that I'm running to, you know, even now. but anyway, so my personal testimony is one of coming through and overcoming, by the way, sickness, disease. You know, I was born with an autoimmune disorder. My brother as well, called celiac sprue, where you can't eat stuff like gluten and some oats and stuff like that. And just so many other things, my God. but without getting into the weeds of it, you know, the Lord has really done a work in me despite, and he's shown me that, that I can be strong in him. I can't be strong on my own because I tried that and failed. And yeah, so that's kind of like where I've come from. I found God through other people loving on me at a Bible camp. But I thought I'd share a little bit about sickness and, you know, and also depression. You know, I've been on antidepressant medication since I was like 15, 16, I want to say. Probably more like 16, 17. But, you know, I was seeing a therapist since I've been like 13. So, it's been a long journey for me. And I know that my struggles differ slightly, from my brother, but one thing for sure that unites all of us is that life is rough, but there's a way through. There is a hope. And his name is Jesus. He's the anchor for our soul. And he's the one that holds our ship down in the middle of the ocean, even when all the winds and waves are beating against us. And that's why I got the tattoo on my arm that says hope with an anchor. It's not just because I like Popeye and spinach. But that's a little bit about kind of like where I'm coming from. In the midst of my journey of sickness and disease and, oh my gosh, just so much chaos, I've still been able to stick with Saved by Scarlett and create the band with Nate Middleton and originally Austin Given, and still been able to commit to that. And it's been what, Nate, like 12 to 13 years. Nate and I still battle about this number, but I'm convinced that it is 13 years going on 2026.
Google identified that we started in 2011. I don't know where it's drawing that from. The knowledge panel isn't always entirely accurate. Because as you know, Matt, you and I started more so covering. So it kind of depends on like if you mean as an original band creating original music or when we first started covering songs, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because when we started, we really were a cover band, you know? We didn't have original music. So that's a really good point, Nate. It's like at what point do you consider yourself, you know, an independent, like creating original music? Probably the moment you know, produce your first song. So that probably was 2011.
Yeah, I think you and I started writing our own original music around 2011. And then we published for the first time in 2014 or 15. I'd have to go look.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that song Syndrome, that song means a lot to me because of my testimony. Syndrome, and if you guys, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the music video, Brian and Riker, but that actually has, like, we have friends of ours that are in the medical industry, and we hired them, you know, to participate in that music video. I would definitely encourage you to check it out. And there's a really cool scene in there where Jesus, a man who looks like Jesus, is representative of Jesus, is giving his blood to the patient who is sick and dying of cancer. And it's a picture of, you know, Jesus being the great physician. In fact, I believe the Bible even calls him that. He died not only for our sins, but also for our infirmities too. And a lot of times we can forget about that, but we are overcomers and conquerors through Christ. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. My own conversion testimony is a little bit different. There's more to that, but I'm just going to end it there if that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's good.
How about you, Nate? How did you come to know Christ?
Well said, Matt. Well said. So while my brother was battling a lot of the physical ailments that were going on, my life was so chaotic at that time period, essentially because I was fighting for a friendship and a relationship with a girl that I had gotten involved with. And she was like my best friend at the time, you know. We had done so much of life together. And unfortunately, she changed as a person when I was in a relationship. She actually had a very severe diagnosis, which unfortunately the diagnosis and the stuff that started happening in her body and her mind, it happened when I happened to be in a relationship with her, which is really unfortunate timing, because I'd also lost my my cousin prior to that. He was hit by a truck right next to our house. He was my best friend. He was my cousin. He was blood. He was family, he was our neighbor, and he was our best friend. He was literally all of those things in one. And all of the friends that we had at that time were tied to him. So when he, you know, died, it was one of the first personal losses that I've ever had in my life. And it set me kind of on a bad track. And, you know, when I got involved with this girl in the relationship after that, shortly after, things just went really, really, really south. I mean, I almost died three times. God actually saved my life from a tractor trailer truck from her with a metal stake trying to impale me. And also the last time was more so my own self, really, really just like my mind had been so contorted and destroyed. And I had never been through emotional or physical abuse before. You know, she had done things like hit me, clawed me, tried to gouge my eyes out once, tried to shove me into traffic once, tried to jump out of my car at 80 miles an hour, like all kinds of stuff that like I all of a sudden was like, boom, 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 almost lost my life. I almost got put in jail with 12 security guards surrounding me at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, which is a giant arena. All of this literally happened in a span of 6 months. She ran away and we had to go find her with the cops out in the middle of the night in the woods. Like, it literally got so bad, man, that like the lack of sleep, the decline in health and the decline in mental health, it literally just destroyed my brain. Like I could not remember what a healthy relationship or friendship looked like. I lost friends because of her toxicity. It split our friend group. It was really, really bad. And so, you know, when I came to the end of myself, I ended up just doing things that I wouldn't normally do. You know, I considered doing self-harm and I actually did start entering into self-harm. And then at one point I even questioned about taking my life. And the way that God really showed himself to me was when I was contemplating that on like this cliffside edge, a friend of mine, he ended up walking up behind me through the leaves, comes over and puts a caution cone down. Now I'm like freaked out because I thought I was completely alone in all of this stuff. And I'm just crying out to God, you know, and pouring my heart out to God. And so I turn around and we look at each other and I'm just like, what are you doing here? And it's like really awkward, you know, like I'm like trying to wipe the tears from my face. And he's like, he looks at me kind of weird and goes, oh, I just, sorry, I'll leave you alone. I just had a feeling I was supposed to come out here and put this caution cone here so that no one accidentally falls. And then I turn away. I can't look at him because I'm like, oh, my God, like God literally just did this miracle. Right. And it was in the fall. Didn't hear any crumple, you know, no crunching of leaves or anything as he walks away. I turn around and he's completely gone. Nowhere to be seen in any direction. There was no sound of leaves, nothing. And like, I truly believe that God, he did something miraculous there. I can't explain it. I know that it happened. I had the cone for a while too. It happened. And there's nothing anybody can say or do to convince me that God did not come to my side when I needed him most, when he saw the abuse that I was going through and all the horrible, horrible stuff that just didn't, it, you know, came from that. I lost years of my life practically just trying to keep her alive, man. You know, and with my brother with his medical battle, I wish I was able to be there more so for him during that. I didn't even know some of that going on because I was just literally trying to stay alive and keep this girl alive. Like, it was really, really bad. And through that, God created one of our top songs, and that is Surrender All. You know, that song is from the heart, man. I literally sat down at a desk, and for 6 hours, I pounded that desk. I gave every single thing I had, every emotion, every lyric, every piece of effort I possibly could, I poured into that song. And my wife, the girl I was with at the time, Sarah, who's my wife now, she actually was a part of that. And it's just, it means so much to me to be able to, you know, take those thoughts and emotions. And she's really good with lyricism. So she helped me with quite a few things and then sang. But it just, it means a lot to me, you know. God took something really, really difficult and he made something beautiful out of it. And by the way, what I meant was after I had broken up with that girl, I later, obviously fast forward, you know, years and years later, I ended up with Sarah is what I meant to say. I just realized I didn't say the name of the previous girl. The other girl, you know, I won't say her name, but It was
we figured that Sarah wasn't the one trying to gouge your eyes out or anything.
No, at least Sarah, not today. God did so many incredible things, man. He threw so many different miracles in both of our lives, healed so many parts of my heart that I didn't know could even be healed again. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to trust a girl again, you know, when I first started, you know, entering into other relationships or even friendships. If somebody went to move their hand quick, I'd like flinch, you know, out of like a knee-jerk reaction. And I can't believe I just never thought I would have been that person who was put into a situation where that would be who I became. And I knew it wasn't me. I knew that I had strayed from God and that he wanted me, the full Nate Middleton. He wanted all of my heart and he wanted my time and my effort. And he wanted me to really come back to him because I had spent so much time, you know, trying to help this girl, to help her stay alive, help her get out of the abuse in her home. All of these things took precedence and that was wrong. You know, I lost sight of what really, really mattered at that time. And, you know, we tried to get professional help involved and we did actually save her life twice, physically. And, you know, I thank God for that. I'm thankful that, you know what, she's alive and I hope the best for her. I'm thankful for that, you know, no regrets there, but things could have been done differently. And that was one thing that I had to learn in life. And that led me to the arms of God, really.
Well,
sorry, that was long-winded.
No, all right, no. Man. I mean, we love testimonies like that. So, you know, it's your story and we just feel honored that you shared it with us. You know, and I got to tell you that I am thankful that the work that God has done in both of your lives. You know, you have to go through pain and turmoil sometimes to see how sweet it is when God finally does grab a hold of you and show you what it is, show you what his love truly is. So, as hurtful as it was, you know, be thankful for it.
I'm thankful every day, man. It's literally ever since that decision, my life has never been the same. I will never go back, and I can't stop smiling because of it. It's insane.
Amen. So, I gotta ask. I want to go back just a little bit. You guys started out as a cover band. What was your favorite cover to play?
Ooh, you want to take that one, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry for the delay. Well, there was quite a few. I think personally, my favorite cover to play ever will always be Whispers in the Dark by Skillet. It just right out of the gate is so good, man. I love old Skillet. You know, new Skillet's good too, but instrumentation-wise, old Skillet was where it was at.
For sure.
And, you know, that was a long time ago. Some of the covers that I prefer more to like play nowadays is a little something more technical, like Wage War, Convictions, you know, stuff like that. Memphis Mayfire is a big one. But growing up, I would definitely say Whispers in the Dark by Skillet was like my all time favorite. Between that and Feel Good Drag by Anne Berlin.
Oh, dude, such good songs.
Well, as a cover song nerd, like, I love cover songs. Can I suggest a Saved by Scarlett cover CD? Just put your guys a spin on all this music and put it out. Like, I would love to hear that.
That's cool, man. That would be awesome.
For sure. That would be awesome. We've covered a lot, dude. Everything from Fit for a King, Skillet, Evanescence, Flyleaf. You name it. Hillsong.
Very nice. So, I know you guys have been working on some new music, but what about touring? You got any shows coming up? You got any tours planned? Where can people see you? Well, I mean, besides Walmart right now.
Well, we've definitely got a lot of...
Oh, you're a funny guy, huh, Brian? Huh?
Jason.
It's Jason. Why did you think Brian?
Dude, I don't know why.
Fine, I'm Brian. I've been called worse.
Hey man, all those medical issues got to me, bro. That's so funny. I could have sworn somebody said Brian earlier. Oh, maybe that was someone who wasn't. No.
The one that's not here is Jeremy. So you're way off.
Dude, that's funny, man. Oh my gosh. I am so
It's all good.
Dude, honestly, Bring Me to Life by Evanescence, dude, was such a fun song to play as a cover. So basic, but such a great, man.
And as far as song shows go, like touring, regarding your question, we have a lot of festivals that we had performed at last year that are going to be having us back this year. So okay. We'll be chain linking a bunch of those together. There's like Ohio, hopefully, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Virginia. There's going to be a whole lot. We're not sure if we're going to be able to do a tour leg, just because those, like all of the dates may not happen to work out where we can do it like one day after another, which that's all we can afford. Cause you know, we can't afford to pay for hotel nights, you know, if say there's 2 days in between. So we're kind of working through that. We've been more and more progressively performing throughout the United States. You know, next year, I believe we were looking at one festival in Michigan. We've got a couple of one-off shows like in New York and different things. So it's going to be a mixed bag. But regardless of what happens, we're going to give it our 110%. We can guarantee you that. And we are definitely looking at hopefully being back to Uprise Festival. And we will be back to Soul Fest, which is in Massachusetts now. And that one is going to have a big Christian rock slash metal band that I can't say the name of right now. But just know that it's going to be pretty monumental. So we're really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And when you have a show in Michigan, go ahead and let us know, because that is our neck of the woods. We would be out there a second if we could.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys go to the Ohio festivals at all, like Immersion or Undead Festival?
I know we're friends with the guys that do Undead. I haven't been yet. I don't think Riker's been yet. Jeremy normally goes to Indiana for Kingdom Come Fest.
Oh, we love Kingdom Come Festival, yeah.
But I think we're going to try and make a few more of these festivals if possible, especially if you're going to be here in Michigan. We may have to make a road trip to visit and say hi.
That would be awesome, man. Hey. We hope to be back to Kingdom Come Festival. It is a long drive, and they have made offers. It hasn't worked out yet, but I'm hoping that if they pitch an offer this year, we'll be good and ready, man. We're cranking.
Awesome.
So, hey, is it okay if I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Sand Shoes. I got it this time.
That's his legal name.
I'm not going to call you Brian. Don't worry. But I was wondering – I forgot if it was Riker or you, Sand Shoes. Who said that they really enjoyed Lie of the Pharisees? Like, that was one of their all-time favorite songs.
That would be me.
Don't get me wrong. I love Lies of the Pharisees. But I think Jason likes it more. Just because of how obsessive he is.
That's awesome. I was just wondering, what about Lie of the Pharisees did you like so much? Like, what do you feel like were its strengths or weak points?
I mean, strength-wise, I think musically, it doesn't get better than that song. Like, everything blended so well, whether it's the bass vibing with the drums or, you know, the breakdowns for the guitar. The vocals meshed perfectly with everything else, and then just the strength of the lyrics and how, you know, how much passion and emotion came through. Like, it's hard for me to narrow it down. Like, everything about that song, I don't want to say it's perfect, because no song is perfect, but everything meshed so well that
that's awesome.
Probably one of the best songs. Like, seriously, if anyone has not heard it, go and listen to it and really try and pick out each individual, like, instrument. Like, if you listen to the bass.
It's true.
I'm a bass player. But you listen to that and you hear how it meshes so well with the drums, because a lot of times bass doesn't, and it's supposed to. It's supposed to kind of improve that drum. Honestly. It meshes so well. And then the guitars, like the breakdowns in it, are just absolutely phenomenal. And then vocally.
You got some bass drops in there too.
Yeah, I mean, just vocally, the strength and power is unbelievable. Like, I can't sit here and speak musically about it. But Riker is the music guy. Like, he can sit there and tell you, oh, on this note, you did this and this and this. Not me. I'm just like, bass is cool. Or guitar is cool.
Bass is cool.
But, you know, I mean, it was almost a perfect song to me. Just how well it flowed and how everything meshed so well together.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for giving us that feedback. You know, you guys are very involved in the music scene right now, and I think that, you know, we take a lot of value, or we value very much, I should say, other musician or other producers or other radio hosts, or even just audience, you know, neutral audience. A good objective feedback is really, really important for us, because we just want to, we want to make sure that that we don't end up going down a rabbit hole where we're like, oh, let's do this, and then we just like end up chasing something that really we weren't meant to do. If that makes any sense, that feedback is like a sounding board. It helps kind of like remind us of, oh yeah, like God gives us gifts to bless others. It's not so that we can like go down this deep rabbit hole of like, how much lower can I go? It's like, I love playing low, but if people start saying, hey, you know, like that, it's really starting to sound awful, I'm not going to blow that off. I'm going to consider it, you know, because God gave us a gift, and the Bible says not to throw your pearls to swine. So it's more important that we, you know, refine how we're affecting other people, especially since that's kind of what brought us to the music scene. I think I speak for Nate too when I say watching like other bands like Skillet and Rent and Salome, a band that it was actually the first live concert I ever went to. That was life changing for me. So, you know, those are people who are in touch, you know, with their audience and with the creator. So we want to do the same thing. So thank you for giving that feedback. I appreciate it, especially since I wrote a lot of the lyrics.
Thank you so much.
Like I said earlier, you guys evolve with each and every song. People can literally go through your music and hear something different in each song, and they improve with each song. Even on the same record, you listen to the starting song to the end song, and you can hear progression and improvement in everything you guys do. And then with every release, there's something new, something fresh, and it all seems to just mesh together so well. I mean, in all honesty, I know I said I don't want to compare you guys, but to me right now, my all-time favorite band right now, 13 Minutes. Like, I listen to 13 Minutes' latest CD, Stay. Everything flows beautifully. Like, Jamie has put together a perfect group of people. Even though some of it's evolving, everything flows beautifully. I want to put that to you guys. Listening to your music, you guys are pretty much that same level, because everything flows. There's no songs on any of your releases that someone would be like, all right, I'll just go to the next song. You want to hear how each song progresses. And that's what I appreciate. That's great
to hear. Thank you.
That's what I appreciate about you guys.
So, that's really valuable feedback, because like you said, I find myself doing that even with some of my favorite artists, where like there'll be a song that comes up and I'm kind of like, okay, this is pretty, it's okay, but it just feels like weak, feels like it was kind of half half done. You know what I mean? Even really, really big artists. There's one that I won't say, but there's one that put out a song that was like, dang, man, like, what happened? You know? But that's really great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. And we need to hear that kind of stuff. Whether it's good or bad, we need that feedback because we want to constantly evolve, like you were saying. We want to continue to refine our craft and learn different ways of how we can get better. You know, Memory Relapse, we started the song with finger tapping and then ended the song with our drummer playing piano. Like, we're really, really trying to squeeze as much as we can into that 3 to 4 minutes of just raw passion, intimacy in a emotional way, you know, wanting to connect with the listeners and share some of our deepest sorrows and also our highest of highs and joys, you know, like Out of Darkness had a lot of that. And hence the name Out of Darkness. That one was focused a lot more on melodic, joyful type of things. And it's really cool to hear from stations and people like you sharing your point of view on the music, because we're well aware that there are some people who they could honestly not even care. Like, they could care less. Luckily we don't hear that very often, but I'm sure that there are some people out there, you know, everybody's music is different. It's not always for everybody. So it's really nice when people actually list the things that they like and that they enjoy. And we want to have fun making the music. That's one thing that I think some Christian artists don't do. There are some songs that you listen to and it's just like, man, it doesn't sound like they're having fun, or doesn't sound like they, out of a place of joy and drive, created this song. We try to really make sure that we're doing that, like when we're performing or recording the music from beginning to end. You know, we want to have a smile on our face. We want to talk about the real stuff, get really deep, but also make sure that people are also having fun. Otherwise, we're just doing this.
Yeah.
And you're just, okay, doesn't sound any different than the world. You're talking about these struggles, you're talking about all this sadness, and you're a Christian band. Like, where is the meat in this? You know what I mean? Yeah. Give me something real. And that's something that I found myself really, really doing, is saying to myself, I'm not going to do this because these said, you know, Christian artists are doing this. And it's like, I heard from so many people who don't even believe in God. They're like, okay, it just sounds like you're talking about sad stuff. Like, so what? You know what I mean? Like, and that got me thinking. I'm like, man, we got to make sure we create music that doesn't do that. We want to make sure our music tells a story or has a good ending, or if it's going to be sad and dark, it's got to be for a reason. You know, it can't just constantly be regurgitated like that. Yeah, and leave people not feeling any hope, you know?
For sure. Well, unfortunately, gentlemen, we are out of time. So, you may not know, but we pray for each and every one of our guests. And we have a prayer list that's shared between Riker, Jeremy, myself, and my daughter. We all pray through it every single day. So, I want to ask you, how can we pray for you?
Matt, do you want to go first?
We may have lost Matt.
Hey guys, I am still here. I'm just trying to get into my house. I'm locked out.
That's all right.
This is Matt's journey.
Dude, I'm not joking when I say that, like, this entire interview, I have been to about 4 different buildings.
Oh my God. Well, I'm going to pray that Matt gets into his house.
Yeah, I guess that's Matt's prayer request.
Dude, that's amazing. I do have a prayer request. You know, I know this is, Nate's probably heard me say this so many times, but one of the biggest challenges of my entire life was not medical stuff. It's actually being a father. Or let me put it this way, being an authentic, kind, compassionate, but yet authoritative, not authoritarian, involved, very present father. that is what I'm having difficulty with. I think I'm doing a great job, but I also know that there's always room for improvement, and I'm also a husband. So, you know, I could just really use prayer for continuing to find the balance between, you know, performing and being there for my family, which it's going well. But I also don't want my drive and talent for playing in Saved by Scarlett to be suffocated, and vice versa. I also don't want that drive and talent to suffocate, you know, or starve my, you know, relationships with my family. So just finding that balance would be great. And prayer for that would be super appreciated, Brian. I'm just kidding.
Nice. How about you, Nate?
If you could continue to pray for me, ironically, I never had any medical issues, like literally my entire life until somewhat recently. I had some kind of weird things pop up. They say your body changes every 7 years. When I turned 27, 28-ish, just some random things that were stressful and difficult to navigate and figure out what was causing them. Not life-threatening things, but just, you know, it costs money and it takes time. And some of it was robbing my sleep. A lot of it has gotten better. I think I've pretty much nailed it down. And one of it was actually affecting my singing voice. But, you know, for the most part, God has helped me figure all of that out. But if you could just pray that I would continue to, there seems to be a little bit of a lingering something. If you could pray that the last little bits of whatever was going on in my body, if you could pray that God would help me stay on the right path and that, you know, I want to take care of my body. I'm singing, I'm jumping, I'm performing, I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I've got 2 jobs, you know, a wife, 2 guinea pigs. You know, it's it was starting to really impede on my life, on my joy. And so if you could pray that, you know, that God would just continue to protect me, I guess. It's some of it's kind of a mystery.
But. For sure. I'll be praying for that. All right. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. So, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Nate and Matt joining us here tonight. Lord, I ask that you just continue to watch over both of them. Lord, watch over their marriages. I ask that you watch over Matt. Help him to be the father and the husband that you call him to be. Lord, give him the knowledge and wisdom that he needs. Lord, I ask that you watch over Nate and just watch over his health. Watch over his marriage. Lord, just continue to protect his singing voice. Lord, I ask that you help Matt get into his house, Lord. And above all else, I ask that you just continue to help guide them so that they bring honor and glory to you in all things that they do. I thank you for them. I thank you for their music. I thank you for my brothers here on the show. Lord, most of all, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' holy, precious name we pray. Amen.
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 Guys, thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for being on tonight.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Riker, brother, this is great. Jeremy, I know you're watching because I see you posting in the chat group. So we miss you, bro. We hope you got all your work done and you come back to us soon. For those watching on Facebook right now or wherever you happen to be watching, I've had a couple of calls today. We may be back on the air sooner than you think. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for that wonderful prayer. And I got into my house, so thank you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God is working miracles. All right. So, again, thank all of you for watching right now. And just remember that if you're going to rock, rock for him.
Thank you guys.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Coming up next week on the Rock for Him podcast, we are joined by Patrick Rivers of 3 Days Under.